This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Rockets reportedly putting everyone on the market except James Harden. ESPN put out a story yesterday courtesy of Rachel Nichols and The Jump, and this is what the report sounded like on national TV.
You're looking at the wrong moves that should be made. There should be a coaching change. And Mike D'Antoni, I think, has done a phenomenal job. Mm-hmm. But for them to go to that next level with this style of play, Kobe said it. A lot of other guys have said
Scotty,
it. It's just not going to happen. And we don't see him holding James Harden accountable. He's not coaching James Harden. And if you want to win that championship, it's got to be a coaching change.
I'm going to throw out a conspiracy theory right now, and I'll just let you know right now. I'm not even going to entertain what T-Mac said because I think it's absolute ludicrous to question the job Mike D'Antoni's done the last 2 years. I think it's asinine. You might disagree with me, John Lopez, but I'm going to tell you right now, that's straight from Morey's mouth right there. Straight from Daryl Morey's mouth right there. T-Mac is a Daryl Morey guy. Daryl Morey went as far as to wish him a happy birthday when his birthday was last week from his Twitter thing. What he just said right there, as we talk about this drama, we talk about the drama between Fertitta, Morey, and D'Antoni. T-Mac is a Morey guy. That right there is the words of Daryl Morey. That is how Daryl Morey feels, and that is why Daryl Morey is firing Mike D'Antoni's assistants without even giving him a heads up. And furthermore, that is why Daryl Morey is putting all these players on the market without even telling Mike D'Antoni as well. He's not communicating any of his plans with Mike D'Antoni, and when T-Mac says that, I 100% know that right there is what Daryl Morey thinks.
I 100% agree. I mean, and part of me gives him credit, but I also think it's part of why he's insulated from deserved criticism. But I give him credit for massaging the media, cultivating the media better than any general manager I've ever seen. Daryl Morey.
No, he's the best,
and
I enjoy it, and I think Daryl's good at his job.
He's not full of me,
and I don't. I'm not one of these guys that has to go on there and sit there and rub his shoulders.
I've said the opposite of he's not good. I don't think he's good at his job. I think he's very good at his job, but I also think there is accountability and responsibility. And I'll say it one more time here: he would get all the credit, or at least more credit than D'Antoni, for building a championship team, because he did the Harden deal. He would have brought in Chris Paul. He would be a god. So you can't say there's no criticism of Daryl Morey when that experiment falls flat. And let's talk about the players that Daryl Morey has brought in and how it just hasn't worked, or maybe there's been injuries in Yao's case. Yao, all right? Tracy McGrady right there. He didn't bring him in, but that's his guy. Dwight Howard. You know, Carmelo Anthony, obviously Chris Paul, James Harden, all these other key role players. He's tried everything. It hasn't worked. So how is Daryl Morey all of a sudden insulated from any criticism? He should not be. He's great at his job. He brought these guys in, but don't get all the credit and none of the blame.
Let me give you another angle to that, because that's the angle between Morey and D'Antoni. And we know that Tillman Fertitta, you heard it here first, we broke the news, the national news. Tillman Fertitta picked up D'Antoni's option a year ago. Daryl Morey's the one firing his assistants. That's one angle. But I will say this in regards to Morey and all these guys being on the market. And this is just a fact. This is just what that is. And this is why I don't even know that I, initially was a little bit critical of some of the things Morey did last year. This is the other thing about Morey moving forward. He's been extremely handcuffed by new owner Tillman Fertitta. He's been handcuffed. And for as close as the Rockets have gotten to the Warriors, he's been handcuffed. He had to get below the luxury tax last year. He had to trade James Ennis to the Sixers and basically just swap second-round picks. He had to trade the contract to Brandon Knight and a first-round pick for Iman Shumpert. He had to trade Michael Carter Williams and paid cash for it. He did the same thing with Carmelo Anthony. He paid cash. They're the first team I've ever seen that's a contender that hasn't used their mid-level exception. Mm-hmm. They didn't do that. Fertitta came out early last year and said that he wanted to avoid the repeater tax. And then later on, after all these moves were made, said that that wasn't a priority. And after Daryl Morey did all these things to get below the luxury tax, Tillman Fertitta came out and said it is a fluke. As great as Morey is, I do wonder if Tillman Fertitta, who has developed and earned a reputation early in his tenure as mm-hmm. the owner, as a guy who's not willing to spend top dollar to allow his GM to do what he needs to do. I do wonder if, as good as Daryl Morey is, Tillman Fertitta, who's been caught in a couple lies early on that I just said, Tillman Fertitta might be handcuffing Daryl Morey a little bit this offseason. And I hope, I 100% hope that this year, Tillman Fertitta allows Daryl Morey to at least use his mid-level exception, because it's an absolute joke for him not to be able to. And I do think this, too. And this is just based on the information that I've gathered and everything. I do think this. When Daryl Morey's sitting there talking about the Warriors and talking about getting close, I think that's an immediate point in the direction of Tillman Fertitta.
I think the Rockets have to make some big decisions this offseason. Yeah, generally for the last few years outside of the Chris Paul acquisition, it's been, well, mid-level type of, you know, decisions. Who's going to play? Who's going to be our defensive stopper? You know, who's going to be this? Who's going to be that? You knew the core, you know, and the gist of how they would, you know, contend. Now they have to make big decisions. Chris Paul. I mean, what are we going to do there? Apparently, according to Wojnarowski, he's one of the guys that they're trying to move.
Right, we'll see.
That comes.
Good luck with
that's
that.
That's a Tillman Fertitta decision too. Now
we'll see. No, I think he would do that in a second.
Rid of the salary, but then you got to take something back.
This is something else I know, and I know Tillman Fertitta, and he's. Let me just say this. This is the one thing Tillman Fertitta needs to understand, and I'm saying this seriously, because you talk to a lot of people in different cities who cover different teams, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Like that, I mean, the longer you're in this business, you develop relationships, you talk to people in different cities, correct?
Yes.
Let me just tell you this, Tillman Fertitta. When you're out to dinner or you're at a party in other cities with people who might run other NBA teams, mm-hmm. maybe even teams that you're chasing,
yeah,
that are dynasties, like when you're out to dinner with those guys.
Narrows it down.
That maybe you're playing in the NBA finals today.
Okay, it's
when you're out to dinner with them. When you're out to dinner with them, and you're out to dinner at social gatherings, you might not want to bash your team and bash your players and bash your contract and bash everything else. You might not want to do that, because it gets around to media types, and that's just all hypothetical. That's mm-hmm. neither here nor there. Just hypothetically speaking, when you're out to dinner with other NBA people, and you're out to dinner with people around the town, you might not want to bash your team because it gets around to media types. Hypothetically speaking, of course.
Of course.
Texans on the practice field as we speak. Phase three continues. Bill O'Brien, he spoke about John Lopez.
What?
His least favorite coach on the Texans staff.
I'm
going ahead
and say that.
I'm just putting this in your mouth.
Stirring the pot again.
Here is John the man that John Lopez calls the puppet.
I do not.
Offensive coordinator Tim Kelly. Bill O'Brien talking about offensive coordinator Tim Kelly taking stuff off his plate. I'll let J-Lo defend his honor after we hear from B.O.B. on that as well.
There's definitely some things that Tim, you know, can do now that takes some things off my plate, no doubt about it. I still, even, you know, relative to last year or the previous year, I mean, I'm the head coach. I'm responsible for what goes on the field at every position. But, I definitely think that Tim, with his knowledge and his experience in our offense, has definitely helped me to take a little bit of the load off of some of the things that I would do normally offensively over the last 2 years. Yep.
All right, just first things first, because some people will actually believe what you said. I've never said that.
I'm just kidding.
That he said that.
You question how much power he's going to have as an OC, though. Is that fair to say?
No, I'm obviously
tongue in cheek.
I'm going to actually, you know, back you up to this to this extent. I'm worried more about Bill O'Brien being the "I got this" guy, and a lot of times I'm the "I got this" guy. Most men, because we're dummies, you know, we'll
speak
work
for yourself, buddy.
We'll work on a project, or we'll work on. You know, a lot of times, you know, somebody, like I'm doing a project at home and somebody could help me hold something up or you know, whatever, I'm sawing, and they would, you know, help me screw it, whatever. And I'm usually like, no, don't worry, I got this. I'm worried that no matter what Tim Kelly does during the week, Bill O'Brien is going to be the "I got this" guy when it comes to play calling. And I will absolutely stand behind that. And because I think that's just the way he's wired. So when I talk about Tim Kelly, I'm like, yeah, it's cool, it's nice. But is anybody going to help or change or actually call plays besides Bill O'Brien? I don't think so.
You know, the question, I think we joked about the questions that Bill O'Brien should have been asked and the, mm-hmm. and the questions she should be asked throughout the process. I think the question that he needs to be asked is, you've been in a situation where you started out on a coaching staff and you weren't the offensive coordinator, and eventually you earned that trust to become the offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. What was it specifically that you had to do to earn the trust to be able to have that role and have more trust in you calling that? And do you, how far along do you see Tim Kelly compared to where you were at this point in your career?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I think that's one that he would actually enjoy answering. You know, he's got a little bit of Bill Belichick in him, in that every once in a while there's a question that really piques his interest, and he'll elaborate in detail on it. I think that's one that he would elaborate on, and I think he needs to let. And maybe I'm just dead wrong, and I'd love to be dead wrong.
It's happened before on the show.
Maybe we're gonna get to a point where Tim Kelly does get to play, you know, call plays and such. I just don't see it happening.
We'll see. Stay tuned. Speaking of the Houston Texans, as they wrap up practice today, we've touched on the offense. What about the defense? Jonathan Joseph, 35 years old. He's the longest tenured Houston Texan. This is him talking about second-year safety Justin Reed and the void that he fills with the departure of Kareem Jackson, who was also here for a long time with Jonathan Joseph.
Should have been a first-round pick. You know, I look at his talent level. I think he should have been a first-round pick, but for whatever reason, he wasn't, and I'm glad we have him here. But he's a guy that can cover, tackle, you know, look out. He can play special teams. He can do whatever you ask him. And he came in with that same mentality. You know, when they first introduced him in the room, he didn't say he was a safety. He said he was a DB. And, you know, we all laughed at it in the room. But he brought that same mentality there. He can play multiple positions. He can learn on the fly. And he can be durable.
So, Jonathan Joseph, that's him talking about his new buddy, Justin Reed. But what about his old buddy, Kareem Jackson? J-Jo, is it weird pulling up to the facility in OTAs and not seeing Kareem Jackson?
Obviously, it's a business and things like that. But, you know, time and time again, you know, when I pull in the parking lot, you know, I always just look around at the cars in the parking lot and things and just, you know, think about how we post most of the time. We pull up around the same time while we walking in, we talking. But at the end of the day, you know, I understand it's a business and, you know, that part is gone.
That's got to be weird, man. I mean, because you're going to battle. You're going to battle when you're an NFL player. You're not putting your life on the line, but you're putting your body on the line. It's a dangerous sport. These guys bond because they do compete so much. And, you know, all the extra time, all the extra stuff. It's got to be weird to be with someone for damn near a decade and all of a sudden him not be there anymore. As you just turned 35 years old and you can see kind of the light at the end of the tunnel in your football career.
It's like everybody knows it's a business, and everybody in the NFL says, you know, at the end of the day, it's a business. But that doesn't make it less painful or awkward when the business slaps you, you know, right across the face, and one of your best friends, a guy that, you know, that has been in that DB room with you all along, is departed. It's like when you have a 90-year-old grandma, and she's in hospice, and you know she's
you
not
kind of relate to this one,
and you know she's not long for this world. When she dies, it still hurts a lot, even though you know what's coming. You know, so even though
what. So was Kareem Jackson in hospice last year?
Well, no. What
I'm saying, some pretty good ball, John.
What I'm saying,
thought he played some pretty good ball.
Is they know it's a business. They knew Kareem Jackson was probably going to depart, but it still hurts.
But he's still okay.
Yeah.
Sorry to my grandma. I'm just kidding.
He's not on morphine or anything.
Carlos, well, he might be on that Marahucci now that he's in Denver. Carlos Correa, allegedly, don't quote me on that. Carlos Correa suffered a broken rib and will miss 4 to 6 weeks. He says he got it while getting a massage. We don't believe that. We'll investigate that a little bit more in the noon hour. But one of my favorite people on Twitter, the great Texans Bill @_Reliance, he has his take on what happened with Carlos Correa and whether or not he believes him or not.
Apparently, he says he busted that rib getting a massage. Let me tell you, man, I've gotten some massages in my day, but, you know, I weren't f***ing no rib. I'm going to have to say I believe him, because if I break the rib, I'm going to come up with something cooler than I was getting a massage. I'm going to be like, look, dude, burglar, come in my house. He broke through there. I said, identify yourself. He's like, oh, I'm Ryan Griffin. And then I'm all s***. And I grabbed the baseball bat, and he grabbed it from me, and he's mad, and he's no longer employed, and he hit me in a rib. Not a massage. So I believe you, Carlos Correa, and your fence is back.
Why do you throw Ryan Griffin under the bus?
Oh man, Ryan Griffin just breaking into houses from punching well, windows to breaking
he's
into
had
houses.
Better months.
Yeah, he has had better months, but damn, Texansville, you might have had something going there until you said that. At the underscore Reliant. Astros, they looked to sweep the Cubs last night. Did not happen. A good start for Wade Miley. He gives them 7 quality innings. However, the Cubs take a 2-0 early lead. They never look back. They win 2-1. But the story of the game outside of the Correa rib injury took place in the top of the 4th inning. Albert Almora, he hit a line drive into the stands. He was noticeably shook up. Apparently, the ball struck a 4-year-old girl. She was rushed to the hospital. Immediately rushed up to the hospital. Some people have reported that it was a precaution, but the girl was rushed to the hospital. You could see how shook
up he was.
I'd
like an update, and it's scary that there hasn't been.
And yeah, it is. And you could it, just based on his reaction, he was the security guard at one point was consoling him, and he was crying. He was crying during the whole thing. Apparently, he has 2 kids. You could see Tony Kemp's face, and you could just hear the reaction in the stands. A 4-year-old girl getting hit with a foul ball. The netting didn't go all the way throughout the field, and of course, this began the discussion about whether or not there should be netting all throughout the yard. OG John Lopez, you cover baseball for 3 decades. You've been at most of the ballparks in the country. What is your take on this?
My take is very simple. It's stupid not to extend the netting. Stupid. Not dumb, not ill-advised. Stupid. They do it in professional baseball in Japan. They do it in professional baseball elsewhere. And if your argument is, yeah, but it distracts the view, it's not as good a view. Is that the payoff? You know, you always say, Landry, what's the payoff? What's the payoff for not extending netting? Maybe, you know, having a slightly better view. By the way, the people who spend thousands of dollars behind home plate don't seem to mind a little netting. The people, you know, right near the dugouts who pay a lot of money on the lower rows don't seem to mind the netting. Extend the netting, and how about this? Extend the netting so little 3-year-old girls don't get their faces crushed. Okay? That's the payoff for me. It's stupid. Major League Baseball knows it, and anybody who says otherwise, especially when they say, I want to get autographs, screw that. Autographs are for kids. You know,
I got them a lot as a kid.
I know you did. Autographs for kids. You can still get autographs. All right.
I got them a lot as a kid.
There is not going to be nowhere you can get an autograph. When do you usually get autographs during a baseball game?
3 hours before the game.
3 hours before, when you can walk to the place where they're signing autographs and get an autograph. The netting has nothing to do with the fan experience. The netting is so little girls don't get their faces crushed.
Dude, it's scary as hell when one of those ropes
it's
comes.
It's stupid.
To you. No, it's
stupid.
It's a scary experience though when one of those comes. Dude, even when it goes above the netting when some of those are on a dime.
Yeah.
I've been hit with
even when falling from like a pop foul.
I got hit with a home run when I was a kid at BP, and I'm telling you, man, like that's not going near as fast as this, but it was sad, man. It was really sad to see. To see the scene, and I'm with the OG. They got to do something to prevent this because it's so dangerous. It's beyond
it's
dangerous.
It's stupid. It's a relatively rare. Somebody tweeted me that it's a relatively rare occurrence. Oh really? I'll bet you once a month we get somebody, some story somewhere, either getting, and it doesn't have to be a little kid, but sometimes it's adults, you know, getting smashed with a foul ball.
And
what are you thinking?
Some people are saying you just got to be paying attention. You got to be paying attention.
Like baseball
what is
game.
This? I mean, what is this? Is this a war?
Yeah.
Like, are you on a battlefield or something
Keep
like that?
Keep your head on a swivel.
No, you got to be ready. I know you're just going to the ballpark and eating a hot dog and eating your peanuts and stuff, but just keep your head on a swivel. Be ready. Like, get the hell out of here with that. Yeah. NBA Finals begin tonight in Toronto between Golden State and the Raptors. This is interesting, J-Lo.
Mm-hmm.
This is interesting because we both have a healthy amount of respect for Las Vegas. By the way, you're still going, right?
Oh yeah, sure.
Okay. You know, it's 100 days away today.
Yeah,
100 days away.
I'll
from,
be there, man.
100 days.
I'll
away
be the one at the craps table.
From I'll be there. It'll be the second week of college football. Texas is facing LSU. A&M is facing Clemson. 100 days from now, so mark your calendars. There, we'll be in Las Vegas enjoying that. But the only reason I bring up Las Vegas and the NBA Finals is Kevin Durant's out for the Warriors. Game one's in Toronto because they won one more game than Golden State in the regular season. The Raptors are a 1-point favorite, J-Lo.
How about it?
The Raptors are a 1-point favorite in game one of the NBA Finals. I'm going to go ahead and let you do this. Book your bets.
Well, I told you yesterday, Raptors are going to win the first game. Warriors are going to win the next three. And then we'll go from there. But I think so good. I think the Raptors are going to win tonight. They're the best defensive team the Warriors have faced in the postseason in like ever. They're going to be at home. Kawhi Leonard is Michael Jordan Jr. You know
what?
Kawhi Leonard is Michael Jordan Jr.
Okay, I was just making sure I heard you right.
Kawhi Leonard.
Just making sure.
I think they're going to win tonight. Yeah.
Okay. I got you down. Raptors win tonight, and you know what? This is the 36th straight NBA Finals that a player that played with Shaq will appear.
That's an incredible
in
stat.
The series. Danny Green played with him in 09-10. That stat is not going to die. I'm going to go ahead and keep bringing that up because it completely fascinates
DeMarcus
me.
DeMarcus Cousins is active.
He is active, but we don't know how much he's going to play and how much he fits because Looney's been giving them some pretty damn good minutes, and Bogut has been pretty giving them some spot duty as well. So it'll be interesting to see how they do use Boogie Cousins, and it could come down to a former Rocket, Kyle Lowry. How's he going to do? Is he going to show up? He's been known to disappear. Is he going to show up tonight against the best backcourt in the NBA? Landry Locker, John Lopez, lunchtime in the loop. The city of Houston is amidst national headlines. Two of the top five stories nationally were on ESPN. We're going to get into those, and we're going to try to dissect the lies going on around town. That's next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.